Programs, views, claims, and or representations may not necessarily reflect those of AM 1220 The Word or Salem Communications.
Hi, and welcome to Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now, toll free at 888-677-9673. That's toll free, 888-677-9673. Join the conversation live with Pastor Al. And now, here is your host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good afternoon, and I'm sorry to disappoint you. This is not Pastor Al Davis. He is away today, and our condolences to his family. His wife's grandmother, grandfather passed away, and so he is down at a funeral right now. And this is Pastor John Lutz. If you were listening just the last half hour, we were talking about spiritual gifts, and Pastor Al asked me to go ahead and stay behind and do his show this week, and so we're going to continue on. We are not taking any phone calls, so just be aware of that. I don't know. I know the introduction said to call that number, but we are not taking any phone calls today. And Pastor Al, Lord willing, will be back with you, of course, Sunday night at 11 o'clock right here on 1220 AM, The Word, and also back next Friday, Lord willing, at 1:30 right here on this same station as well. Well, if you've been listening at all for the last half hour, you know we're talking about spiritual gifts, and as promised, I'm going to go into a study about biblical tongues today. If you weren't listening and just tuned in, we have been talking about the extensive information that Paul has given us in the book of Corinthians regarding spiritual gifts, and it's really only the only place in the scripture that goes into such detail. And understanding the fact that the church at Corinth was one of the most messed up churches that we read about in the scriptures. Now, many were saved, but it was a very carnal church. And when it was very carnal, there was a lot of things that were going on that were not biblical. And that was part of the reason why Paul wrote the letter to the Corinthians to rebuke them on their judgment on what is right, what is wrong, and how to exercise their spiritual gifts. And as I mentioned to you, I wanted to go through just in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 13, and 14, some understanding so you can have some biblical understanding about this issue of tongues. And I know this is a hotbed topic. I've talked to people before that they don't think you're right with God if you haven't, spoken tongues. And they almost make you feel inferior, like they're some superior person because they have experienced something. But I will tell you that even what they're experiencing isn't even biblical tongues, and I'm going to show that to you today. And for those who want to make an argument to say, well, there's a difference when the Bible uses the word tongue versus when the Bible uses the word tongues, and it's two different applications, well, we're just going to blow up that argument too, and we do that through Scripture. That's how you blow up any argument, because any argument is only as strong as its weakest point. So, you know, if you are a very dogmatic about some position that you believe and hold on to very dearly, and yet somebody can take a scripture and show you differently, well, that just blew a hole in your argument. You need to go back to the drawing board and say, well, how does this fit into the argument? And your argument may still be right, but there is a point of contention that has to be dealt with. And so that's what we're going to do today. We're going to blow up some people's theories on this issue of tongues, and we're just going to use the Bible. And you know why we do that? It's so that they don't get mad at us. They probably will anyway, but then they realize their argument's with God, not with a man. And, most people will take out their aggression on the man rather than God because they're no match for God. But anyway, and the other reason I'm doing this too is because, the Bible tells us, Paul wrote in as I shared in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant." And we need to confess some things today that the reason we are in the dire straits we are here in this land is because there's a lot of ignorance going on in our local churches today. And it's going on in the name of Christianity, but there's no order to it. There's no structure to it. And even in with the realm of gifts, 1 Corinthians 14, verse number 40 says, "Let all things be done decently and in order." God is not a God of chaos. He's not a God of disorder. He's a God of order and authority. And so everything we do and everything we believe and everything we adopt in our life come under the authority of the Bible. And so that's why we use the Bible to refute false premises of arguments men make based upon their experiences, not based upon truth. And so I would just ask you to have a tender heart when we go through this. And if you struggle in this area, and maybe you're one of those people that is sitting around waiting for some experience to happen, that, well, when am I going to get the baptism of the Spirit and be able to speak in tongues? Well, we're going to blow up that argument. And you don't have to sit around in bondage thinking I'm waiting for something that's never going to happen, because it's never going to happen that way. The true baptism of the Spirit happens upon salvation, and the filling of the Spirit happens upon salvation. And the more you know, the more you'll be led of the Spirit, and you'll follow the Spirit, and you'll have the fruit of the Spirit as you follow God's word through the prompting of the Holy Spirit. That's biblical. That's what you ought to look for. And if Paul were here today, according to his letters in chapter 12, 13, and 14, I believe he would give you the same admonition. And one reason is this. One of the most important verses in all the scripture in this area of spiritual gifts is found in 1 Corinthians 13, verse number 10. Verse number 8. Let's start with that. It says, charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. That word perfect is not talking about Jesus. If it were talking about Jesus, then we don't have a complete copy of the scriptures. That word perfect there means complete. But we have a complete copy of the scriptures. So it's talking about the scriptures, not about Jesus. And Paul didn't have a complete copy of the scriptures. So he says, when that which is perfect has come, then all these things that God was using as tools to convey messages to people and to his churches were going to stop. They were going to cease. Prophesying was going to stop. And he qualifies it in the next verse when he says, when I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. Now think about this. When you're a child, you don't know what you're going to look like. You don't know how tall you're going to be, how heavy you're going to be, how skinny you're going to be, how strong you're going to be. You don't know any of those things. You don't know what you're going to look like, your facial features. But when you become a man, you already know. All of the revelation has taken place. And now it's just a matter of growth. That's all it is. And the matter of the Christian life is all about growth today. It's not about more revelation, because the revelation, what's the last book of the Bible? The Revelation. So we've gotten revealed to us what we need to know to grow. We're at that point. And there are people sitting around waiting for experiences, for some revelation. And you're going to sit there a long time. And you're either going to deceive yourself, your heart's going to deceive you, a preacher's going to deceive you, Satan's going to deceive you, into thinking you're having an experience that doesn't line up with Scripture. But let's look at some of the things about tongues in the Bible. And whether you want to say a tongue or tongues, I'll show you. We'll blow up that argument here in just a little bit. But here's the first one. Tongues in the Bible are always human languages. Tongues in the Bible are always human languages. The first time the word tongues are mentioned is in the book of Genesis at the Tower of Babel, when God separated and divided the lands, every man according to their nation and their tongue. Okay? So even in that case, I believe it's the word tongue. Let me look it up real quick here so I make sure I get it right. In Genesis chapter 10, verse number 5. Yes, but these were the isles of the Gentiles divided in their lands, everyone after his own tongue, singular, after their families in their nations. So you find the word tongue there, and that's the first time it's mentioned, and it's reference to nations and national languages. Then you come to the book of Acts, which is, you know, the big prominent passage people look at, Acts chapter number 2, at the empowering of the church when Pentecost happens, and the Bible says, and they were filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation, there's a key word, under heaven, under every nation. Now when there was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. So what were the tongues? It was a known language. It was a national language. And then it goes on and says, and they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? And how hear we every man speak in our own tongue, wherein we were born? Parthians and Medes and Elamites and the dwellers of Mesopotamia and in Judea and Cappadocia and Pontus and Asia, Pergia and Pamphylia and Egypt and the parts of Libya and Cyrene and strangers of Rome, Jews, proselytes, Cretes and Arabians, we do hear them speak in our tongues, plural, the wonderful works of God. So right there you see another premise. It's talking about a national language, a distinguishable national language. Now, we have to take that premise into the understanding of biblical tongues. Because those men were able to hear the disciples of Christ, the apostles stood up and preached, yet every man was able to hear in his own language and understand. Now, when you come to the misusing of the gifts and the ignorance of the gifts that's going on today, first of all, we have to admit that what is called tongues today isn't even a national language. In fact, many say it's a heavenly language. It's an angelic language. Well, there's a couple problems with that. One, Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 that he went up into heaven and he heard a language that it was not lawful for him to utter. So, my first question is, what makes it lawful for you to utter if it is a heavenly language? Are you more important than the Apostle Paul? Are you given a special standing with God that you would be able to utter a heavenly language? And the Apostle Paul said, it's not even lawful for me to do. So that's one problem with the argument there. Two, it's not distinguishable. And tongues in the Bible are always distinguishable. But tongues in the Bible were always human languages, and they were given the ability to understand in the known languages of their birth. So a Spanish person would understand in Spanish and whatever other languages are out there, French and Italian and all, whatever it is, Greece and all the languages of the world, Swahili, all these things, they'd be able to understand in their own language. And of course, these were Jews that came, that were there at the Feast of Pentecost there at the time of Pentecost, and they heard in their own language. So tongues in the Bible are always human languages. Tongues in the Bible were only beneficial to the church if the language could be interpreted. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse number 5. Paul says, I would that ye all spake with tongues, but rather that ye prophesied. For greater is he that prophesied, for he that speaketh with tongues, except he interpret that the church may receive edifying. So the most important thing about tongues in the Bible, national languages and in the way it was, not this nonsense going on today, was the fact that it was supposed to be beneficial to the church if it could be interpreted. Now, the thing about that's claimed to be tongues today is something that can't be interpreted, that it's a revelation by God and only the person it's revealed to can interpret it and understand it. Well, that violates Scripture right there. I mean, is it not plain? It violates Scripture. The other thing we see there is tongues are not as important as preaching. Paul says, I'd rather you prophesying. The prophesying there is preaching. It's not foretelling events that haven't been revealed yet. It's foretelling the things that are telling forth the things that have been revealed. He says, I would rather you have you do that the church would be edified. So biblical tongues were not even as important as preaching. And Paul said, I'm glad that I speak with the most tongues of anybody. Yet I would rather speak five words of my understanding than to preach in a tongue that nobody understands. So tongues are not as important as preaching. Now I want to show you a couple things here. Look at verse number 7 of 1 Corinthians 14. It says, let's go to verse 6. Now, brethren, if I come unto you speaking with tongues, what shall I profit you, except I shall speak to you either by revelation or by knowledge or by prophesying or by doctrine? And even things without life giving sound, whether pipe or harp, except they give a distinction in the sound, how shall it be known what is piped or harped? Do you notice the phrase distinction in their sound? See, tongues are given with distinction. That means, you know, if a trumpet sounds, we know that it's a trumpet. If a trombone is played, we know that it's a trombone. If a flute is played, we know it's a flute. If a clarinet is played, we know it's a clarinet. There's a distinction in the sound of the instrument that identifies what that instrument is. And so what biblical tongues are distinct in their sound. It's not some nonsense psychobabble that goes on and some emotional outburst that somebody has, but it is distinct with a purpose. You wouldn't want, if you heard a clarinet playing and it sounded like a trumpet, you would be confused. It would throw you for a loop and say, something's not right here. You wouldn't say, wow, listen to that clarinet player. Man, he can play that clarinet and it sounds like a trumpet. You would be confused and you would be like, that's not right. That doesn't sound right. And it would cause confusion. And you know what the average church does today that believes in a nonsensical tongues movement? They're confusing people. They get on the televisions and they tell people and they speak in these words. That's a gentleman been texting me some of the funny phrases that you could use if you want to speak in tongues. And I can't remember right now, but I remember laughing. One of them was, he tied my bow tie. And that's how you speak in tongues. You just make up words as you go along. They don't make sense. But everything about God makes sense. And it has order and has decency. And so tongues in the Bible were not only distinct, but look at verse number 9. So likewise ye, except ye utter by the tongue words easy to be understood. How shall it be known what is spoken? Remember, the purpose of spiritual gifts is for the purpose of the edification of the church. Yet people have these experiences today, quote unquote, tongues, and they're not words easy to be understood. So do they qualify as biblical tongues? Nope, they don't. They don't qualify. It says right there. Look at verse number 10. There are, it may be, so many kinds of voices in the world, and none of them is without signification. Therefore, if I know not the meaning of the voice, I shall be unto him that speaketh a barbarian, and he that speaketh shall be a barbarian unto me. For example, I don't know how to speak Spanish. And if I had somebody that spoke Spanish and only Spanish come into my church at North Coast and said, go ahead and preach to us, and nobody in the congregation spoke Spanish, he would be as a barbarian unto me. We don't speak the same language. And we would be as a barbarian unto him because we don't understand what he's saying. That's biblical tongues. And they gave up on that a long time ago after the Azusa Street movement out there in the early 1900s there, when the whole tongues movement was getting moving. And some guy had some mystical experience and he sent out over 100 missionaries around the world, and not one of them ever had a document experience of biblical tongues doing it themselves. Not one of them. Did you ever wonder why Ernest Angley has to have a translator with him when he goes to Africa? Did you ever wonder why these evangelists have to take an interpreter if they have the gift of tongues? It's nonsense. It's ignorance. And that's why Christianity's a mess today. It's not true biblical Christianity. And I know I'm on a fringe here. I understand that because what we're saying here is not highly esteemed among men. But that which is highly esteemed among men today is an abomination unto God. The fact is, our experiences have to line up with the scripture, or we cannot say they're of God. I shared with you in the previous half hour, there are experiences in the Bible that weren't of God, yet people experienced them. There's Simon in the book of Acts, who was doing things that could not be understood by the people. And by the subtlety of his sorcery, what he was doing. And they were saying, wow, this man has the great power of God. But Peter looked at him and rebuked him and said, man, you better get right with God. To the point where Simon even says, you know, I fear God now. Would God accept me? Because he knew he wasn't right with God. Because as soon as Peter, who was a man of God, took the word of God and examined the man was a fake and a phony. And churches, your people of churches, some of you would do you well to read your Bible and examine whether what your preacher's teaching is biblical or not. Oh, he might run you out of church. You'll probably get real mad. Satan always got mad too when you ruffled his feathers. And don't forget, Satan can be transformed into an angel of light, and he's got a lot of people working for him. And God is not a God of confusion. Look at 1 Corinthians 14, verse 33. For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all churches of the saints. You know what that means? If there's confusion going on in your church, it's not of God. If there's confusion, people running up and down the aisles, people jumping up and down, people just saying things out of random things. Nonsense going on today. Nonsense. Why? Because we don't use the Bible as a standard. See, tongues are supposed to be words that are easy to be understood. In fact, if we use the argument between a tongue and tongues, and you know, tongue, if it says it's a tongue, well, that's a spiritual heavenly thing. And if it says tongues, those are national languages. Well, verse 9 says, so likewise, except ye utter by the tongue words easy to be understood, how shall be known what is spoken. So it's talking specifically about this idea of national languages for the edification of the church. We had a missionary in this last Sunday, and he could speak Russian, fluent Russian, and he's a second-generation missionary, and he said some things in Russian on his video. We didn't understand what he said. By the way, neither did his wife. It was kind of funny, and she interpreted and just basically said, "Hi, we're Jim and, James and Amber Pranger," and that was it, and he had said a whole bunch of different things. Listen, it's identifying and distinct and easy to be understood, and the purpose of tongues is for the edification of the church. By the way, look at verse 22. "Wherefore tongues are for a sign, not to them that believe, but to them that believe not." So all this nonsense that's going on in churches today is, it doesn't line up with Scripture. And Paul would write this same letter today, as it is for us today, to look at and examine our churches and say, are we lining up with Scripture? Are we teaching people properly? And there are going to be a lot of preachers that are in deep trouble with God because they're preachers who have never been called of God. There are preachers that are doing the devil's work, and they are causing more confusion. I know more people, well, I shouldn't say more people. I know people myself that have gotten caught up in this movement and are experiencing things and attributing it to God and attributing it to the Spirit of God and saying, I'm inferior because I'm not experiencing what they're experiencing. Well, I got good news for you. I'm all right because I'm lining myself up with this Bible. And while there are times in my life that need correcting and transformation and those things, and I thank God that He does those things for us, as far as doctrinally goes, we're going to line up with these Scriptures. You go ahead and have your experiences. You go ahead and dance down the aisles and throw gold dust up in the air, and you go ahead and get baptized 5, 6, 7 times whenever you feel like doing it, and you go ahead and keep messing people up, but you wonder, people, why you keep struggling, and why, because you got no structure. You're basing Christianity off emotions, not off doctrine. And it is the structure of doctrine that leads to a successful, victorious Christian life. And this nonsense that goes on today in the name of tongues is nothing more than nonsense. And my brethren, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. The only reason ignorance exists because there's a lack of knowledge. And the Lord said in the Old Testament, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. The soul that it be without knowledge. It is not good, the Bible says. You got to have the knowledge of the Word of God. And not just the knowledge. You got to apply what you learn. And I know there's probably some sitting out there today saying, preacher, you don't know what I've experienced. I've experienced this thing you're calling nonsense. It doesn't make it that it's not nonsense. And I'm not saying you didn't have an experience. But does your experience line up with Scripture? Now that you know today that biblical tongues was also always a national known language that could be interpreted from one person to another, that it was something words to be easy to understood, that it was distinct in its sound, that it was for the purpose of not for them who believe, but a sign for them who believe not, that the word understanding is found 10 times in this very passage because you have to have understanding. Paul even said, what is it then? I will pray with the Spirit. I will pray with the understanding also. And I will sing with the Spirit. And I will sing with the understanding also. So because we can't explain it, it doesn't mean God did it. We're told in one of the books, I think it's 1 John chapter 4, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Well, I thank you so much for listening. As I mentioned, Pastor Al will be back with you, Lord willing, Sunday night, right here on 1220 a.m. The Word at 11 o'clock p.m. And he'll be back, Lord willing, next Friday at 1:30 p.m. right here on this station as well. Thanks for listening. I hope you have a great afternoon.
You've just listened to Live with Pastor Al. Pastor Al Davis is the pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. You can contact Pastor Al by calling 330-659-6561 or by writing Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us. Pastor Al invites you to visit him at the Bible Baptist Church Sunday morning at 11 or Sunday night at 6. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, located at 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield. Or you can join us for our Friday night Bible study tonight at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express from 7 to 9. You can learn more about Pastor Al and the Bible Baptist Church online at live.maplenoel.us. Join us for more live conversation with Pastor Al this Sunday night at 11 p.m. and again next Friday afternoon at 1:30 on AM 1220 The Word. The preceding program has been sponsored by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield.
The preceding program's views, claims, and/or representations may not have necessarily reflected those of